Well, we're living inside the operational phase of the New World Order. The same NGOs that ran the invasion of Europe the last 15 years are running the invasion against the United States. 25 other governors and states have joined Texas. That's 26 against what's happening. Regardless, the attention is good and positive. Is it going to save us? No, but awareness will lead to cutting off the funding to the UN NGOs that are running the invasion. Well, Alex Newman is the CEO of Liberty Sentinel Media and senior editor at the New American Magazine, in addition to writing for various other huge publications worldwide. He's an award-winning investigative journalist, educator, author, speaker, investor, national syndicated radio host, and consultant who seeks to glorify God in everything he does. And his new book has just been released, Indoctrinating Our Children. We'll have him back soon just on the book. We'll talk about some today. Indoctrinating Our Children to Death, Government Schools, War on Faith, Family and Freedom, How to Stop It, LibertySentinel.org, TheNewAmerican.com. People ask how I've been so ahead of the curve. Well, New American Magazine, and before that was out, my family were involved with the John Birch Society and just dead on. We're talking about vindicated. So, Alex, there's so much to hit here. You sent me a lot of topics that I really want to get into. But first off, the border invasion, what's happening, how it ties into things. This is really, I think, a lens or a keyhole into their operations.
It really is, Alex. And, you know, as somebody who grew up in Latin America, I spent most of my childhood in Mexico and Brazil and was educated there. I can tell you that the people coming across the border, a lot of them have been indoctrinated from the time they were little tiny children. I know because I lived it, to believe that the United States is the source of all their evils, to believe that the United States is the reason why they're poor, the reason why their own governments are corrupt. It was constantly drilled into our heads. The gringos are at fault. They invaded our country. They steal our resources. They do this and that and the other. And so when you combine the indoctrination that the young people who are coming across our border now have received as children, and the indoctrination that's happening to the children in the United States, what you realize is the vast majority of younger people, whether they be native-born Americans or the illegals coming across the border, have a passionate desire to see the United States of America destroyed, not just as a nation, but as Rich Higgins said from the National Security Council during the Trump administration, even as an ideal. The principles that our country was founded on need to be fully discredited. And so I was listening to Michael Yon right before I came on, talking about this is an invasion force. It literally is. They want a civil war in this country. They want Americans shooting at each other. They want immigrants from Somalia, from all over Latin America, from the Middle East, all adding confusion to this. They've got special operators coming in from China. They want to create the most disastrous situation that anybody can imagine. And I believe that the indoctrination of the young people, not just in the United States, but around the world, is critical to pushing this New World Order agenda forward. In fact, I don't think you can even understand the New World Order without understanding the role that the government school system all around the world, now under the leadership of the United Nations, is playing in preparing humanity for that.
Well, let's start running through so people understand what's happening.
So the process actually began 150 years ago. Right? A lot of people don't realize that government schools are a new and innovative idea. Right? The idea that government would educate children would have been inconceivable to an American or anybody else in the world 200 years ago. That was the parents' job, right? But you had a group of communists, starting with Robert Owen, who was a communist before even Karl Marx came out, thinking, hey, we need to fundamentally transform America. We need to turn these people away from the Bible, away from God, away from the constitutional principles that created America, and toward a collectivistic vision of humanity, of society, et cetera. So he set in motion this train that eventually would become the public school system. From there, you had communists like John Dewey and super capitalists like the Rockefellers joining forces to really expand the system across the United States. If you look at the education that Americans had before the system came into being and you compare it with what we have today, it's like night and day. Americans back then were incredibly knowledgeable. They were incredibly literate. They understood logic. They understood history. They understood how to evaluate evidence. Today, the majority of American adults, according to the federal government's own data, are basically functionally illiterate. So this has all been part of a long design. Of course, you know the Rockefellers are an intimate part of the New World Order agenda. In fact, the Rockefellers and the Carnegies teamed up to unleash this system of public school around the world, right? And so now you have the United Nations. Alex, this is what people need to understand. The United Nations is taking the lead on education issues. And it's been doing this for a long time. They have a whole agency dedicated to this, the UNESCO, UN Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization.
And they're promoting pedophilia, officially saying sex with kids I mean, you think you've got a local government or local school. In almost every case, it's UN policy.
That's right. And it absolutely is, Alex. That's what people don't understand. They think we're going to run for school board and we're going to fix this. You have no idea what you're talking about. This is coming from the UN to the U.S. Department of Education, from the U.S. Department of Education and the unions. It's then pushed on the states and the local governments. From the state and local government goes into your classroom. So the UN decades ago actually wrote what they call the World Core Curriculum. Now, this was written by the Assistant Secretary General of the UN. He's called the father of global education. His name was Robert Mueller. And he admits in the foreword to the teacher's manual, in plain English, he says the principles on which this is based are found in the books of Alice Bailey and the Tibetan teacher Zhivyal Kul. Well, I know you know this, Alex, but I know most Americans have no clue who Alice Bailey was. I'll give you a hint. She was the founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company. So you have the guy who wrote the World Core Curriculum admitting it's based on the principles of a crazy lady who claimed to be communicating with ascended masters.
And for people that didn't know, Hitler followed her. Aleister Crowley did. She's a big cheese.
She's huge. I mean, when you get into the higher levels of globalism, she is like, you know, one of the top dogs when it comes to spiritual issues. Now, they've changed the name of the Lucifer Publishing Company because that was just a little too obvious. They now call it the Lucius Trust, but it's still there. They talk about this new age that we're going into. And so she's got a book, Education in the New Age, right? And this was written 60, 70 years ago that she was cooperating again with these ascended masters, which if you read your Bible, she was talking to demons or she was schizophrenic, one or the other. And she says that the goal of education needs to be to prepare children for world government, that we're entering this new era, this new age for humanity, where we're going to evolve into a higher level of consciousness. And the people holding us back are the Christians because they cling to this idea of God and all the rest of it. They literally take the biblical story and flip it upside down, right? So Christians understand the serpent in the garden, satanic lies, right? You can be as God.
And now they've got this new show. Start over on that. That they've got a new show financed by Amazon where the devil's actually the hero back to Adam and Eve.
Yeah, and this all comes out of Alice Bailey. She wrote in one of her books, Externalization of the Hierarchy, that eventually you're going to have to introduce all of society to the occult rituals and mysteries that these people consider to have been, you know, a critical part of their movement going back to who knows how far back into the past, maybe all the way back to Babel and Nimrod. So all of this is happening through the school system. That's what people really need to understand. Your children are not being educated in any sense that a normal person would recognize, right? Normal people, you ask them, what does education mean? They say, well, they're going to teach my children how to read, write, and do math. Don't take my word for it. We've got the federal data on this. Every 2 years, the U.S. Department of Education does what they call the National Assessment of Educational
Progress.
They're
turning us into total savages.
They are. Savages who are ready for a one-world government, who are ready to tear down their families, their communities, their churches, their country, their constitution. And they've been working on this. Again, we've got the whole history. We've got the primary source documents where John Dewey openly talked about. We've got to dumb them down slowly.
And was it the French Revolution and the Jacobins, their big beta test?
It was. And that's what people need to understand. It's a total inversion of Christian principles. The French Revolution was a satanic revolution organized by secret societies. They hated God so much, Alex, they couldn't even tolerate a 7-day week. They declared that, you know, God made the world in 7 days. We can't have that. We're going to have a 10-day week. They chopped off the heads of the Christian priests and pastors. They put up a prostitute in Notre Dame Cathedral and said, here, worship the goddess of reason. And so all these movements are now coalescing. And the primary mechanism that they're using to move the world in this direction is the government school system. I'll say it again. The public school system is their main weapon to make all of this happen. Yeah, the border crisis is huge. It's essential. The war on our constitution, the war on our energy systems, the war on our farmers, all of these are critical. But the main element, the one on which everything will rise or fall, is the indoctrination of the next generation. That's the critical point.
All right, so I want to get into your new book and all of it, but just tying it in to everything that's happening and what we're witnessing, let me ask you this. How is it going for the New World Order? Because I see a lot of awakening, a massive acceleration of understanding. The globalist elites say they're in trouble. They think they're losing. I don't want to be over-optimistic, but it seems like their plan could only succeed if the general public's in the dark. How would you describe where humanity is right now in this attempted takeover of our development?
Great question, Alex. And I always start from the premise that God is sovereign. And so ultimately, it won't be up to the globalists if and when they succeed. But, you know, you mentioned the John Birch Society earlier. Robert Welch, the founder of the John Birch Society, he saw a lot of these things, you know, 60 plus years ago, started writing about them. And he said there was going to come a time where these New World Order fanatics, he used to call them the insiders, were going to have to do the equivalent of run naked through the streets, right? We are there now. And so what Robert Welch said was this was going to be the primary and best opportunity for humanity to stop these people. He said there's going to come a time where the agenda is going to be so obvious. And you know, Alex, you've been sounding the alarm about this long before we got to this point, right? So your viewers, your listeners already knew all this was coming. But to your average Joe on the street who's just trying to feed his family, just trying to get a raise at work, all this stuff is new. But what's happening now is the stuff that was hidden, right? The agenda for a world government, the invasion of our country, the dumbing down of our children, all these different elements that are coalescing into this one world agenda from hell, they're now all out in the open. So they went from, oh, we're not doing that, you're being a conspiracy theorist, to how could you not want a border invasion? How could you not want these sex perversions taught to your children in public school? So now is the chance for us to stop them. Like you pointed out, I do believe these people are absolutely terrified. They're right to be terrified. They are going to be held accountable at some point. They're going to face justice. They should be quaking in their boots. But I believe that they are incredibly scared. It first really hit me when they banned you from all the platforms, Alex. When they banned you, for me, as horrible news as it was good news in a sense, because what it showed me is they recognized, even by rigging the algorithms for YouTube and Google to try to silence you and suppress you and other people like you, they still couldn't keep the control of the narrative. So they lost control of the narrative somewhere, in my view, back around 2015, 2016. That trend has accelerated. Now we've got millions of people waking up on a almost weekly basis, not just in the United States, but around the world. And if these trends continue, all these evildoers, if they're lucky, they're going to end up in jail. So it's do or die time for them. And that's why it's a great opportunity for us to stop them. But it's also a time of great danger. As Michael was just explaining before I came on, all kinds of very volatile situations could emerge potentially in the very near future. You know, lights out, communications out, civil war brewing, false flag attacks. These are all the types of tools that they would use in desperation to try to regain control of the narrative, to try to shut everything down again. Think what they did during COVID, but multiplied by 10 or 20. Folks, we're in a time of great opportunity and great danger. Now's the time for everybody listening to us, all the people who've just been kind of listening passively, haven't really been involved. Now's the time to get involved. Starts in your own home. Protect your own children from this agenda. Then work outwards. Start with your block. Start with your neighborhood. Get to then your city council, your county commission. We've got to do this piece by piece, and now's the time for us to get it done when everybody can see what's happening.
You know, a lot of people see 25 states joining Texas and the barbed wire and the illegals getting backed up and then them leaving Eagle Pass to go somewhere else. And they say, oh, you know, it's just the governor, you know, he's been in the WEF, he's a traitor. It's all some type of smoke and mirrors. But I see it as the public forcing this out in the open, and the support of Texas, regardless, is very real and should be celebrated. I don't think it's some panacea. I don't think it's going to fix everything. But what do you think about the current border crisis?
I think what's happening with Texas and what's happening with the other Republican governors chiming in and supporting Texas is absolutely critical, Alex, because look, right now we all recognize that the federal government is in the hands of people who hate us, who are trying to destroy our country. The way to resist that, we always want to use lawful means of resistance. And so historically, you know, if you go back to the Bible, you have over and over again these examples of God's people standing in the gap between the higher magistrate and the people. Go back to Exodus chapter 1, the Hebrew midwives defied Pharaoh and refused to kill the baby boys. You go to Daniel, you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refusing to bend the knee to this golden idol that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. You go to the New Testament, in the book of Acts, you have the apostles saying, look, it's better to obey God than men. So we've always had throughout Christian history and during the Reformation, we saw this as well, this doctrine of the lesser magistrates, where people must do what's right, even if it's in conflict with what President Biden or the Congress is saying. And so what Texas is doing right now, I think, is a role model. Same thing with COVID in Florida. Right. When Joe Biden imposed, for example, the vaccine mandate, our legislature got together. Our governor said, look, we're going to pass a law that deliberately defies that. If you want to force vaccinate somebody in this state, if you're going to fire them for not taking the shot, you're going to pay a fine that's 10 times bigger than what the feds are going to do. So we've got to have state governments and even county governments, sheriffs, county commissioners.
We got to have pushback.
We're not going to accept that. We do. And lawful through the state and through the local is the best way to do it.
So overall, this is positive, but I'm concerned about false flags.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is hugely positive, right? What the governor of Texas is doing right now should be an example for governors and county mayors all over the country. Next step is we've got to join forces. We've got to get these 25, 30 Republican states to join together and say, under no circumstances will we allow this. But you're right. We must be aware of false flags. There are special forces now from China, from other hostile nations spread all over the United States that have come in over the last few years. They've got sleeper cells. They can be activated at a moment's notice to take out the power grid, to take out the sewage treatment facilities. So we've got to be on our guard. I suspect the evildoers are coming up with possible false flags as we speak. Something to blame Trump supporters, right? Yeah, all this Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton stuff that Trump supporters are extremists and they're cult members who need to be deprogrammed. They're laying the psychological foundation for the handful of people who still believe them to unleash incredible persecution on their critics. So we must be very, very aware of false flags. Need to make sure we don't get caught in any of their traps, as Michael just pointed out. Because, again, this is a time of great opportunity, but it's also a time of great danger. I believe the globalists are like a cornered animal right now. They recognize that they have to do something dramatic to get to regain control of the narrative, to get back in a controlling position. So we've got to be very careful. But, again, that should not be an excuse not to get involved, not to do stuff. We just need to expose them. And whenever you hear something crazy happening that doesn't make sense, go to InfoWars.com, go to thenewamerican.com. We will do our best to get the truth out for you. And then it's your job, folks out there listening, to get this information to your friends and your family, even the ones who might still be stuck watching CNN or MSNBC.
Absolutely. Alex Newman, great investigative journalist, researcher, author. Let's start talking about the points you sent me. You kind of already foreshadowed this. How America became illiterate, how the school system was federalized and then globalized, how the creators of the system always had in mind undermining Christianity and the principles of liberty in America was founded on, how we can fight back, and what is absolutely essential that we do, and then so much more we're going to get into.
Yeah, well, thank you, Alex. And so I go back to the beginning with the genesis of the public school system. Now, the guy, I mentioned him earlier, the guy who came up with this idea that government ought to educate our children was named Robert Owen. And he was a communist. Even before Karl Marx came along and wrote the Communist Manifesto, he wanted to get rid of private property. He wanted to abolish the nuclear family. And he believed so fervently in these principles. He actually bought a piece of land in Indiana and set up a communist commune. It failed in less than 2 years. And he concluded that the reason it failed was that all these people had been raised by Christian parents in a Christian society that valued family, that valued private property, that still clung to the ideals in the Bible. And so he said, how are we going to change that? Well, this is a fascinating story. He launched and created what a whistleblower later described as a secret society modeled on the Carbonari. And we've got the primary source documents for this in the book. The whistleblower, his name was Orestes Brownson. He says he was part of this secret society. He was in charge of organizing a part of New York. And he said the immediate goals were to shift public opinion in favor of government schools. Right? This was, again, before we had public schools in America. And they wanted to get men elected to legislatures who would support the idea of a government role for education. Well, this was a very hard sell, right? Americans were incredibly well-educated, primarily homeschooled, and then all the different church denominations ran their own school networks. And then, of course, we had Christian universities like Harvard, Yale, Princeton,
etc. Abraham Lincoln was homeschooled.
Right. And almost all of our founding fathers were primarily homeschooled, right? Some of them went on to get degrees when they were 14 or 15 at Harvard or Yale or Princeton, you know, good Christian schools back then. But homeschooling was the norm at that time. That's right. You know, parents, older siblings and aunts and uncles and grandparents really were teaching how to read, how to write, how to do math, the history of the world. The Bible, of course, was the primary textbook. These were incredibly well-educated people. And so this whistleblower, Orestes Brownson, he eventually became a Catholic, and he repented of this involvement with the secret society, and he wrote a book about it, and he said that the ultimate objective, this is key, the ultimate objective, he said, was to destroy Christianity, right? Even before, you know, Antonio Gramsci, we all know about cultural Marxism and so on. But long before that, the communists had already figured out that Christianity was the giant roadblock in the way of their utopia. So that's the guy who came up with the idea of government schools. The texts and essays that he wrote ended up in the hands of the dictator of Prussia. The dictator of Prussia, according to Robert Owen in his autobiography, so much approved of this idea that the government should educate children that he ordered his interior minister to set up a network of government schools, just as Robert Owen had dreamed up. Well, the founding father of America's public school system, Horace Mann, went to Prussia, studied this system, brought it to Massachusetts, got himself selected as the first ever Secretary of Education for any state, right? We had never had a Secretary of Education in any state before that, brought the Prussian system into Massachusetts, Once he finished with Massachusetts, he went around the country preaching, like, you know, like a traveling evangelist, preaching the good news of salvation by government schools. And little by little, the other states started saying, well, we'll set up a government school here. We'll get the government involved there. And then along comes John Dewey, who's almost universally recognized today as the founding father of public education. He actually went to the Soviet Union for his ideas, Alex. This is a guy who wrote multiple essays for the New Republic about how wonderful the Soviet Union was. This is the guy who designed and built the system that today is educating our children. This was 100 years ago. So incredible, right? So he teams up with the Rockefellers, the super capitalists. You got a communist who loves the Soviet Union teaming up with the Rockefeller dynasty. They had a philanthropy called the General Education Board. They gave Dewey over $3 million to set up an experimental school at the University of Chicago. Graduated a bunch of kids that couldn't read, couldn't write, couldn't tell right from wrong, and couldn't do math. And they said, that will be perfect. That's the model we'll use for the whole country. He moved over to Columbia University, started at the Teachers College, brought in the Frankfurt School criminals who
they were developing literally lawless, mindless morons, an army of idiots.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is, Alex. I mean, they had a plan to dumb down the American people, literally make us illiterate, right? This was a deliberate thing. Before the government got involved in education, you had virtually 100%
literacy. Well, I remember reading documents from over 100 years ago. The big U.S. Banking Association was like, too many people are illiterate. They're too smart. We've got to take control of education.
That's exactly what John Dewey believed. He actually outlines in an essay that he wrote called The Primary Education Fetish. So, you know, Americans don't really need to learn how to read, write, and do math when they're little. We should really focus on socializing them, making them part of the collective. But he says in there, you know, we have to do this gradually because if people find out what we're doing, there's going to be a violent reaction. So he was made the honorary life president of the National Education Association. And then over the decades to come, they excluded the Bible. They dumbed down the population. They turned tens of millions of Americans into actual illiterates using a process that we outline in the book that, by the way, is still used under Common Core today. That's why the kids can't read. And little by little, you know, then we got in 1962, the Supreme Court stepped in. They said no more prayer in school. Next year, they said no more Bible in school. The justice who wrote the dissent, Justice Potter Stewart in this case, said what happened here was not the establishment of neutrality with respect to religion in the schools. He said what actually is happening here is the establishment of the religion of secularism, which John Dewey would have recognized as his religion, the religion of humanism. So let's
explain that when we come back. Alex Newman on fire. This is the striking at the root, how they took over and how we reverse it. Straight ahead. Stay with us and tell folks, tune in now. You know, I sit up here and I yell and scream about the New World Order and the globalists. They're planning to get rid of the borders and release a virus and have a global power grab. And you saw it all come true. But there's can never take our minds or our hearts. Understand this. The war is for you. All of your being. And you will never let them have it. You have already won with your defiance. And that really comes down to it. We have free will, and keeping control of our soul and our mind and protecting our children is the future. And as the enemy program goes from beta to operational and comes out in the open, this is going to be our strongest moment where people face the full horror of what we're up against. Can you speak to what I just said?
Yeah, and it's so true, Alex, that being able to go through a program of 12 years of systematic, scientifically engineered indoctrination and come out the other side and still recognize the truth that we're talking about here, that there is a diabolical, evil group of elitists who want to enslave humanity, who want to build this one-world totalitarian system, to be able to recognize that we're being lied to on all these different levels, even to be able to use logic and evaluate evidence, these are all an enormous victory over their agenda. Now, they're getting better and better at what they're doing, right? Again, people think that their children are being educated in the schools. They're not. It's actually a glorified version of what Pavlov was doing to his dogs. They are basically conditioning them. This is behavioral psychology. This is emotional conditioning so that they won't think, right? So that they'll have an emotional response to trigger words like, we should secure the border. Then they're supposed to drool like the dogs and say, no, that's racist, right? They're not actually thinking about the facts. They're not thinking about the implications of any of these things. They're just responding with their emotional conditioning. And so to be able to go through 12 years of that, and some of us even went to college and had an extra 4 years or even 6 years or 8 years if you got a doctorate, to be able to come out of that and still be able to think clearly and recognize that we are being deceived on a massive scale here is an enormous, enormous victory. The numbers, though, unfortunately, have not been very good, right? If you look at some of the polling data, Alex, and I know you've seen some of this too, they did a poll a few years ago, a scientific poll. It was commissioned by the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation on young Americans, my generation, millennials. And what they found was that 70% of millennials said they would vote for a socialist candidate in the future. In other words, over two-thirds of my generation would go for socialism before free markets and freedom. There was another poll, also a scientific poll. They interviewed young people. Among millennials, less than half now identify as Christian. This in a country that was founded by Christians for Christian purposes.
And like something like 20-plus percent, depending, are, quote, gay. Or, you know, not
right. So, and the numbers are getting crazier. They've got polls now that show 50% of young people identify as a L or a G or a T or a B or what, you know, one of these letters. And so the numbers are getting worse for us. But what's happening is a lot of these kids are then getting deprogrammed, right? They're accessing true information.
Like a lot of people that get transgendered wake up and realize, no, I was in a cult. They cut my genitals off.
Right. And then they're angry. They're like, wait, you lied to me. And this is a process that I went through. I went to very, very elite international schools, Alex, where they train up, you know, the future managers of the one.
Yeah, talk about yourself. What woke you up? Tell us about that.
Well, I think one of the big advantages I had, and this kind of sounds counterintuitive, is that I didn't pay any attention in school. In fact, I got kicked out in the 10th grade. I never went back. I had no interest in school. But had I been paying attention, had I been susceptible to the brainwashing, I might be holding a very senior position in a government or a major corporation right now. That was the path that had been allotted to me. I went to school with the children of billionaires and CEOs of mega, you know, Fortune 500 companies, diplomats, prime ministers, things like this. So that's the world I came out of. Now, the indoctrination there is still extreme. I mean, unbelievably extreme. But they give you the tools, right? They taught me how to read properly. I went to a French school in Mexico. They taught me how to read with phonics. They taught me how to think. They taught me some real history. And so I had some huge advantages that, unfortunately, the victims of public schools in America today don't have. But I would say the biggest advantage for me, and I grew up mostly in Latin America, then Europe, then I went to Africa, then back to Europe. So being in the U.S. is kind of a new thing for me. But the biggest advantage I had was that I was rebellious and didn't pay attention in school. And that sounds counterintuitive, but I believe that is what protected me from the incredible brainwashing that so many of the other children that I went to school with succumbed to.
Isn't one of their biggest problems going to be the managerial class they try to train ahead of AI takeover are going to decide to join humanity?
And that is a huge problem they're facing right now. How do they make the incentive such that the people who are running these institutions now will deliberately destroy themselves? And so they've got to make this appealing. They've got to move out the older generation. I think a big part of what we saw with COVID was exactly aimed at doing that, right? They purged the military. They purged the intelligence community. They purged federal law enforcement of all the people who had enough brains not to take the COVID injection, right? And so they're systematically eliminating people who think for themselves. They're like ESG and these diversity, equity, and inclusion
but
things within the corporations.
But then that purge backfired big. So evil's not all powerful is what we're learning.
Absolutely, Alex. And that's one of the big mistakes that people who learn about the things that we're talking about right now make. They say, well, they control everything. There's nothing we can do. Everything that happens is somehow connected back to their plan. Don't give them godlike powers. They are not gods. They are not sovereign. They don't control everything. Their plan is not always working according to plan, and that is a huge advantage that we have. In fact, I think they are very distressed and very concerned right now about the direction things are going.
Well, let's speak more to that. Davos just closed down a few days ago. They got confronted there. People got in their face. World leaders said, you're tyrants, you're control freaks. I mean, they admitted that we want your trust. Their answer is more censorship. So they seem to be hitting the panic button.
They are hitting the panic button. That was the big takeaway from Davos, I think, right? The obsession throughout this conference was, how do we stop people from communicating with each other? And, you know, they claim they're fighting misinformation, disinformation, malinformation. But all of that is just a very, very lame smokescreen for how do we stop these people from talking to each other and comparing notes. I heard a couple of the ladies up there whining about X and Elon Musk. Oh, it's toxic, right? They think you being able to speak, you being able to express your opinion, you being able to challenge the fraud and the lies that they're putting out there, they think that's toxic, and they are hitting the panic button. They're desperate now. You know, they tried to ban you from every platform, and guess what? People are still tuning into your program by the millions, right? So they are very, very concerned about how do we regain control of the narrative. And the World Economic Forum, the most recent one that just passed at Davos, in my opinion, is proof positive that they have lost control of the narrative, and they are frantic. They are desperate to try to figure out how to.
No, I agree. And then Tucker Carlson's packing 30,000 people into arenas in Canada, and Trudeau's responding to him. I mean, these people are weak as long as we stand up. Because we've got God on our side. If God be with us, who can be against us? Make no mistake, though, folks. You're not going to have to wait for the New World Order now. You're going to get to experience it. Decide whether you're going to stand against it or submit to it. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Some of the crazy articles breaking on InfoWars.com right now. American director exposes New York squatting laws, forcing him to pay bills for family who hijacked his house. And remember what the Centers for Disease Control did during the COVID hoax. They were trying to say, oh, no more rents. But then that'll bankrupt everybody.